My name is Brian Kinsey, and I'm the pastor of First Pentecostal Church in Pensacola. I'm delighted that you're listening to this message, and I hope it blesses your life. If you'd like to submit a prayer request, or if you're interested in a personal Bible study, you can call us at 850-477-1100, or send us an email at firstpent@firstpent.org. We hope you enjoy this message.
Saturday, if you have your Bibles with you tonight, 2 Samuel chapter 23. I know I stand between you and hamburgers and french fries and snack following church. I believe the Lord has placed a word in my heart for us tonight. And I want to declare that word in 2 Samuel chapter 23. I'm going to start reading at verse 11, just two verses. The Bible is speaking of David's mighty men. He begins to list off the first one, Adino, and second, Eleazar. And he gets to the third one. The Bible says in verse 11, "And after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Hararite. And the Philistines were gathered together into a troop, where there was a piece of ground full of lentils, and the people fled from the Philistines. But there was somebody that remained behind. It was somebody that didn't go with the crowd. It was somebody that decided that he was going to remain where he was. And the Bible says that he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it, and slew the Philistines, and the Lord. When everybody else is running away, there's going to be those that decide, I am going to stand my ground." And tonight, for just a moment, I'd like to preach to you simply that. Stand your ground. Stand your ground. Could you put your Bibles down, and can we lift our hands to the Lord one more time and lift our voices with all of our hearts right now and pray that the Lord's will would be done. Jesus, we thank you for what you've done already today. You've filled with the Holy Ghost. You've ministered to people. You've touched hearts and lives. You've done a mighty work in this place. We pray, Lord, continue that work. Finish the work today, Lord, that you have begun. We pray that you would minister. We pray, Lord, that we would receive your word and that it would work its perfect work in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated tonight. In Revelation chapter 12, the Bible says that the devil has come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Jesus said, "A thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy." I believe it's no revelation tonight that the enemy is trying to advance in this hour. Every device, every plan, every tactic he is using to try to take as much ground as he can, because he knows he has but a short time. The enemy is on the move, trying to advance, trying to take ground, advance his kingdom, his will, his desires. But this shouldn't be a revelation to any of us here tonight, because we understand that the time also is short. And we know that our redemption is drawing nigh. But you and I must understand, we need to stand our ground and not give up anything that God has given us. This apostolic church should not give up that one God message that God has given us. We should not give up the message of being born again of the water and of the Spirit. We should not give up the message of living a holy, separated life unto the Lord. We don't need to give up on our worship. We don't need to give up on our praise. We don't need to give up on our prayer. We don't need to give up on our fasting. We don't need to give up on the things that God has bestowed upon his people. If God has given it to us, I say stand your ground and the Lord has given. If you're going to do that, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. I'm not willing to give it up. I'm not willing to let it go. I'm not willing to pass this on to the enemy. Listen, this is God-given territory right here. And every place we go is God-given territory. Where in one God, Jesus name, apostolic believer goes, that is his territory. And if you're on the job, that's his territory. If you're at school, young people, that's his territory. I believe, enlarge your borders. Enlarge your territory. And believe that the Lord is going to do a mighty work wherever you find yourself, whatever piece of ground you're in. Believe that God has given it to you and know that the Lord is going to do a mighty work. I want to keep what the Lord has given. I don't want to give up anything the Lord has blessed in my life. I don't want to let go of the blessings of God, the anointing of God, because make no mistake about it, there is an anointing that is on the people of God. You will not find this anointing just anywhere. The anointing that's in this church is an anointing that comes from a one true living God. It comes from a holy God. It comes from wells that have been dug deep for a long time, and that anointing fills this place. That's why those who came to Risen that maybe never experienced Pentecost before, when they walked into this place, they didn't just see some old drama with some cute little thing going on. No, what they witnessed was the anointing power of the Holy Ghost upon those who sang, upon those who played, upon those who acted in that drama, upon the greeters, upon the parking attendants. It doesn't matter what you did, whether you built the set, or whether you sang in the choir, or whether or not you printed off the handouts to people, or whether you just prayed that God would touch a heart. I'm here to tell you tonight that God not only touched a heart, but God has touched many hearts. We receive so many reports that God has moved on people. Listen, all you had to do was talk to a few on their way out, and you knew that God had touched them. That's why we don't compromise. That's why we don't compromise when it comes to what God has given us. It's ours. And when I say ours, I say the church. It belongs to the church. If you're not willing to give up what the Lord has given, clap your hands once again. It's too precious. If you look at 2 Samuel, the Bible tells us about David's mighty men. I'm only going to briefly look at three and really focus on one. But the Bible says that Adina slew 800 at one time. Now there is in Chronicles 11, 1 Chronicles chapter 11, there is an account that he was the one who lifted up his spear against 300 that was slain by him at one time. Now I'm not wrapped around whether it was 300 or whether it was 800. To me, it doesn't matter whether it was 3, whether it was 300, whether it was 800. The Bible says that this mighty man was willing in the face of an impossibility. He was willing to use what God had given him. It was a spear in his hand. It wasn't a machine gun. It was a spear. Now, I was tempted to use some props tonight, but I decided not to. You get yourself in a lot of trouble with props. But you must understand that for a single man wielding a spear to kill just one man, the amount of physical strength that is required for that task is probably unattainable for most of us in this place tonight. No, I'm not putting anybody down. I'm just saying that what it would take to kill one single man, it would be impossible for most. But Adino, the Bible says that he slew 800, slew perhaps whatever that number may have been, but he did it in the face of an impossibility. When we are the chosen of God, we face impossibilities continually. I don't know if I could speak for you, but perhaps I can. But every day it seems like there are more and more impossibilities that stand in our way. But make no mistake about it. Whether you're facing the opposition in school or facing opposition on the job or wherever it might be, know this, that whatever God has placed in your life, if God has given it, it's up to you and up to me to hold on to it and not let go of what the Lord has blessed you with. In the face of an impossibility, you can be victorious. One man with one spear in his hand, when everything looks impossible, remember that Jesus said, with God, all things are possible. Eleazar, the second one, the Bible says in verse 9 that he decided to defy the Philistines. Now, if you remember, the Philistines tried that tactic on Israel and were successful for a while. Because if you remember when that giant Goliath stood out and defied the armies of the living God, he tried that tactic and had some success. So what did this Eleazar do? He decided, you know what, I'm going to use that to my advantage and turn the tables on the enemy. In other words, when he stood to defy, the Bible says that he was left alone to face the Philistines. Now, once again, he's by himself. When everybody else has gone away, he was the lone one standing there. Now, some think that the account in Chronicles says that it was David and Adino, and they were there with them. And whether it was David and the others or not, I don't know. But what is sure in this scripture is that he had to make a stand, and he had to stand alone. And when everybody else went away, and when I read that, I say, well, how convenient. There's a battle that must be fought. There is some real work that has to be done. There is some call to war that has to be done. And there's just a lot of other things that's a little more convenient than going through all of that. I mean, what's the point anyway? But you know what? Even when everybody else ran in the opposite direction, listen, Eleazar didn't suck his thumb. And he didn't blame those who ran. Now, I am certain he wasn't happy that they ran, because I wouldn't be happy either to have to stand alone. But if you've got to stand alone, stand alone. He didn't get depressed over other people's decisions. And church, don't get depressed over other people's decisions or choices. You can't make anybody serve God. You can't force anybody to serve the Lord. You can't force a family member to come back to God. It's got to be their choice. It's got to be their desire. It's got to be because they want to. And when we see those who walk away and those who are not doing right, we could get depressed. We can get upset about it, but don't do it. It doesn't do any good. I say, instead of getting depressed, how about we just keep praying and use that effort, use that energy, use that passion. Instead of being depressed, how about we continue to pray and seek the Lord? Because that's going to make the difference. The Bible says his response was simply this: he arose. And in this hour, the church needs to arise to fulfill its purpose for today. He arose and smote as many as he could get his hands on. And the Bible says that his hand was weary and his hand clave to that sword. Now, again, as with the spear, that when you're using that instrument, and you are killing as many as he had to kill. The Bible said that his hand was weary, but there was something inside the man that said, I'm not letting go of what God gave me. I'm gonna fight, and I'm gonna do whatever it takes to keep on fighting. The hand may be weary, but the heart is connected to the one true God, and he's saying he's gonna be my help. He's gonna help me fight this battle. He's gonna help me be victorious. Yeah, one man had a spear. If he had social media, perhaps his profile picture would be him and that spear. And maybe Eleazar, maybe it was that sword that he could say to those that he knew that this was a sword I held on to and never let go. Telling all that he knew, no matter how weary I got, I didn't let go of the sword. And listen, church, Paul told us, he said, don't be weary in well-doing. Don't be weary in what you're doing in the kingdom. Don't become weary in what you're doing thinking that it's not making a difference. But if you're doing something in the kingdom, it doesn't matter if it ever gets noticed or not. Just keep doing what God has called you to do in the kingdom. Don't be weary. Don't be weary in well-doing. For in due season, he said, you're going to reap if you faint not. If you don't give up, you will reap. Listen, the Bible says that the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned to him. Now get this, the same folks that ran away. If this don't upset you, I'm not sure anything will. But here he is, the lone man standing, fighting off what he had to fight off, fighting for his life. And the Lord brings a great victory that day. And the Bible says that the people returned after him only to spoil. Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I did the fighting. I did the fasting. I did the praying. I did the seeking. I did the sacrificing. But Eleazar, he was willing to fight that battle. And listen, I don't see anything in the scriptures, at least that we're told, that he got upset when they came to take of the spoil. I say, just let them take. Maybe you haven't caught it yet, but I say let them take of the blessing. Let them take of what God does. Let them partake of the moving of the Holy Ghost. Let them partake of the pouring out of God's Spirit. Let them partake of a mighty move of God in an altar call. Let them partake of a move of God in a drama presentation. You know why? Because I want them to taste and see that the Lord is good. They may have not put anything into it, but I say let them go ahead and take of the spoil. I know it's easy for us to get upset. You call a prayer meeting and you're wondering about all those folks who are out on the beach. Don't get wrapped up on the folks on the beach. Get wrapped up in the God that you're seeking. You get wrapped up on the wrong thing, you're going to depress yourself. Every time. Because you know what? There's always going to be a reason to be depressed. I mean, that's kind of a brutal truth. But Brother Anthony, there's always a reason. And you don't have to look hard. You can find a reason to be depressed. But I don't want to have to do that. I want to look at why I should understand and know that, listen, I am blessed. And the Lord has been good to us as a church. We've got every reason to rejoice. Those were two mighty men. And certainly worthy of such recognition. But the next man, when you read the account, perhaps it doesn't stand out like the rest. There's no big grand thing that you could point to. It's not as dramatic, I guess you would say, or action-packed as the other accounts are. But the Bible says that Shammah, that we can learn three lessons, I believe, from Shammah. In other words, when you look at his account, the Bible says that a troop was gathered against him where was a piece of ground that was full of lentils. And the people fled, just as they did to Eleazar, but he stood in the midst of the ground. In other words, he stood in the middle of the field and defended it. The first lesson that we can learn from Shammah is that he found something worth fighting for. When everybody else ran, he said, I am willing to put my life on the line for this field. This field. I don't know if it's the lentils, or I don't know if it's the account in Chronicles that talks of barley. To me, it doesn't matter. It was the field that he decided it was worth it all. Everybody else chooses to run, but he found a reason to stay and to fight. In other words, he said, this is important to me, and I'm going to do whatever it takes to fight for this field. Church, God has given you precious things, whether it's your spouse, whether it's your family, your children, your relationships that God has given you, our community. Listen, if it's precious to you, you've got to find a reason to fight for it. It may not have seemed like such an important thing, but Shammah found a reason to stay. And I say, if you don't have peace, find a reason to fight for it. Amen. If you don't have joy, find a reason to get that joy back in your life. He wasn't willing to let anything go. And unfortunately, in 2019, a lot of so-called Christians are finding reasons to let things go. It's not worth fighting for. It's not worth the battle. It's not worth the struggle. It's not worth the pressure. But when you find it precious, when you find it valuable, when you treasure it more than anything else in this life, when you treasure your family, when you treasure your loved ones, you say, I'm going to stand in the midst of this ground, and I'm going to fight everything that would come against it, and I'm not letting anything take it from me. Church, don't give anything to the devil. Don't give in to anything or compromise the truth to fit in. And young people, that's very important. Don't let the devil have dominion in any area of your life. Paul said, neither give place to the devil. One translation says it this way. He says, don't give the devil that kind of foothold in your life. Not one place. Not one area is worthy of his control. Not one area. Not one part of your heart. Not one part of your mind. Not one part of your life is worthy for him to have dominion. And make no mistake about it, you can be filled with the Holy Ghost and have areas of your life that you do not have dominion over. I say, don't give him a place. Don't give him a foothold. Don't give him a place where he can rule and influence your life in any area. Shammah said, this field is worth fighting for. All alone. Now, many of you have read, and most of you have heard of The Art of War, Sun Tzu. It's required reading for the Marine Corps. But this writing or the writings of the Art of War, that generals have used it throughout many conflicts and wars, that probably more than 2,500 years it's been in existence. But he said this, he said, on desperate ground, fight. When you're on desperate ground, he said simply this, and he gives a lot of different types of ground that you're in, or different types of terrain. What do you do? He said, when you're on desperate ground, he said, the only thing you can do is fight. And I believe we're on desperate ground. And the only thing the church can do in this hour is do like Paul said, fight the good fight of faith. He went on to say, and it was said that if you fight with all your might, there is a chance of life. Whereas death is certain if you cling to your corner. So when you're in a desperate spot, that's the time to say, I've got no choice but to fight. And I'm not giving up anything or anyone that God has given me. Shammah, I believe he found a reason to stay and fight. The second lesson that I believe we can learn from him is that we need to get to the middle of the field. Well, why in the world is that important? Why do I need to move to the middle? Do you understand that he got away from the fringes? In other other words, a troop was coming against him. He could have stood at the border as the troops were coming and said, come on. But what he did was very significant. The Bible says he moved to the middle. And if he becomes surrounded, any step in any direction is a step closer to the enemy. I'm not getting one step closer to the enemy. I'm going to stay in the middle. I'm going to stay in the middle of this, of the kingdom, and not live on the fringes. Now, Brother Tinney used to talk about those who wanted to see how close they can get to the world and still be in the church. What a crazy idea to see how close you can get and still say, I'm saved, I'm all right. But you know what, young people, listen, I know there's enormous peer pressure you face today, and a lot of the adults, we don't understand it. It was bad in our time, but you can multiply that for these young people today. I believe that. That pressure is on them, the compromise. But let me encourage you, if you can get to the middle, you don't have to move out to the fringe. Shammah's attitude was, if you're going to come and get me, you're going to have to get me from the middle. You're going to have to come pluck me out from the middle if you are going to get to where I am. Never try to battle the enemy from the fringes. Because if you try to battle the enemy from the fringes, you put yourself in jeopardy. There's too much at risk. But if you position yourself in the middle, you have the ability to let the enemy come to you and believe, and you'll see this, that God will give you the victory if you determine to stand. You see many in the scriptures that lived on the fringes and moved out to the fringes. Judas, he left the middle and got to the edge because money caught his eye. He was in the middle, but something caught his eye and said, you know what, I'm going to move out in the other direction. I'm going to move away from Jesus. Many of the disciples left the middle offended when Jesus is teaching. In John 6, he said that many of his disciples, not some, it says many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. They couldn't handle the word, the doctrine that he was giving them. They decided the middle wasn't enough. They had to move to the fringe, move out to the outside. And Jesus said unto the 12, are you going too? Are you going out from the middle? Are you going away? And listen, Peter said, Lord, where are we going to go? I think we're good right where we are, Lord. I think we're good right here in the middle. I think we're good right here where you are. And Lord, where you are is exactly where we want to be. Bible says that he talked of Judas even at that point and said, one of you is a devil, speaking of Judas. Knowing that he was already being pulled in that direction because of that offense. The Bible says that Demas, Paul's partner, left in the middle and got to the fringes when the world caught his eye. Paul said that he loved this present world and is departed. He left the middle. Something caught his eye and he began to move to the outside. Listen, if you're going to fight for something that you value. And what God has given us in the church is more valuable than anything else in this world. If you're going to fight, you got to get to the middle of the field. Don't hang around the fringes. Don't hang around with those who are trying to pull you further away from your devotion and your dedication to God. Young people, those who are trying to influence you to the fringe, reject it. That's just one less friend that you've got to deal with. And any so-called friend that's walking you further away from your devotion is no friend. We baptized, Pastor already talked about it this morning, the members of that Bruton church, and baptizing them in the name of Jesus. You know, when we were baptizing, the tank was turned off. The heater was turned off. So one of the nights, the last night of Risen, the Pastor Singleton said that he wanted to baptize some of his people in the name of Jesus. And so when I got up to that baptistry, I stuck my hand in the water as I normally do. And I said, "Oh, Lord." It was cold. And so I said, "Pastor Singleton," I said, "look, the water's cold. We had to turn it off. It was going to make noise during the drama. And so, you know, we can do this in the morning. We could do it tomorrow." He said, no. He said, "Pastor," he said, "look, they need to get baptized tonight." When you're hungry, the tank doesn't have to be at a warm 80 degrees. I don't know. Is it 80 degrees, Brother Mike? I don't know what the degree. It's somewhere 78, right, on a normal baptism. But you know what? He was saying, no, they need to get baptized tonight, brother. He said, they can take it. They can do it. And every one of them got in that water. Now, one of the ladies, she put her toe in that water, and she, hashakabahaya. I said, "Well, you got the Holy Ghost. Now we just need to get you baptized in Jesus' name." Hey, when you're hungry, you're saying it's worth it. It might be a little cold, and it might last for just a moment. I told him, I said, "You'll never forget it, not only because you've been baptized in the name of Jesus, but you'll never forget how cold that water was." Don't we sing about that? It chilled. Yeah, there you go. Chilled my body, not my soul. Well, that's what it did. But you know what? When you're hungry, they're saying, "We don't want more of the world. We want more of this Jesus that you talked about. We want more of this Jesus that we saw in this drama. We don't care how cold it is. We believe that we need to be baptized in the name that is above every name." Not playing games like some people do. Not hanging out on the fringes. But as those who are lukewarm in the church move to the fringe, there are those coming from the world that are saying, "We've had enough. I've had enough of this world." Listen, you've got to understand, find something to fight for. Get to the middle of the field. And finally, the last thing I'll tell you tonight is you've got to stand your ground. Shammah stood his ground. When the army retreated, he stood. Alone and facing a troop, one man, and the enemy's perspective was, "This is no problem for us. We've got this dude." But they underestimated the God that he served. The army that was with him made a quick calculation and said, "You know what? This troop is more, they're stronger than we are. We can't do anything about it. We're out of here." And they ran from what they thought was going to be a great slaughter. You know, Lieutenant General Lewis B. Puller, we Marines know him as Chesty. He commanded the 1st Marine Regiment as a colonel while the 1st Marine Division was surrounded by Chinese and North Korean forces at the Chosin Reservoir, outnumbered at least 8-1. And according to the Marine Corps Times, they recalled his astonishing words in 1999. He said, "All right, they got us on the left. They got us on the right. They're in front of us, and they're behind us. They can't get away this time." And I'm telling you, that's the kind of attitude we got to have in the church. That's the kind of attitude we've got. Some of them saw crisis, and some of them saw defeat. But old Chesty, he saw an opportunity to attack in any direction that he wanted to attack. Why? Because the enemy was in every direction. You've got a playing field on every side. So instead of seeing crisis, instead of seeing defeat, remember Paul said, "We've got this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of ourselves." He said, "We are troubled on every side." Every side, yet not distressed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed. When you're outnumbered, choose to fight. Elisha said, we're not outnumbered, that fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Jesus said, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We're not told what this man Shammah used as a weapon. He couldn't post his weapon on Facebook. He couldn't post his weapon on social media. Some of those who had a spear could say, this is what I used, and a sword, this is what I used. But it's interesting to note that there's no weapon described. Could it be that certainly the weapon did not matter? But one man choosing to stand his ground. God can use whatever he has in his hands. He stood in the midst of that field, and the Bible says defended it and slew the Philistines. And yesterday, I remember we were watching my son Noah play soccer Saturday morning. And the goalie for the other team, when he saw that they lost the lead and things weren't looking good for him, he began to moan and begin to groan and begin to say, oh, we're losing. We're going to lose. We're not going to win. And some of the parents on the sideline, myself included, began to chuckle because he was just griping out loud, we're going to lose. We're going to lose. This isn't good. We're going to lose. And what was amazing is, and I loved when I saw it, the coach, his coach got to him and said, we don't talk like that. We don't talk losing on this team. We don't talk losing. This game isn't over yet. I know it's just a soccer game, but you know what? There's something in me. I don't like to lose. Why even bother? Never mind. I'm not going to go down that road. But sometimes they tell these kids it don't matter. And okay, well, listen, there's something about winning. When you get a taste of winning, who plays to lose? Now listen, in the kingdom of God, look, we're not playing to lose. The church can't lose. This church cannot lose. It's easy to talk losing. It's easy to get depressed. It's easy to get cast down. But when you get back to the word, you can say, Lord, you are with us. You said the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. You could go ahead and stand right now. It's easy to talk defeat. It's easy to give in and let the enemy take what God has given you. But if you learn those three simple lessons from the life of Shammah, you will see victory. David's mighty men had one thing in common. Here it is. The Lord was with them. David had his sling and stones. Adino had his spear. Eleazar had his sword. Shammah stood his ground. None of them had in and of themselves the ability to be victorious. It was all impossible. But when they chose to stand and fight, the Lord brought about a great victory. And when you get a taste of the victory that Jesus gives, you want more and more and more and more of it. If Jesus gives you victory over your anger, you want a victory in another area of your life. If he delivers you from some addiction that destroys your life, what does that do to you? That says, you know what? There's this other area, Lord, that I'm going to need that same kind of victory. I'm going to need, Lord, another one of those victories and deliverances that only you can give. Lord, you can do it. Jesus found something worth fighting for. In fact, he found something worth dying for. He was between, the Bible says, two thieves, crucified with them, one on the right and the other on the left. Jesus died in the middle. He stood his ground, if you will, willing to give his life for you and for me. As he hung on that cross, the enemy rejoiced. The enemy thought they had him defeated, but the enemy rejoiced too soon, because he would rise in victory with the keys of hell and death. Church, there's victory in the middle. There is victory in the middle. I'm going to open this altar right now. If you need victory, would you come? If you need victory right now, would you come? If you've been discouraged and you just need to be encouraged right now, would you come? I'm not going to hold this for long, but if you'll just come right now, I believe the Lord will touch you and give you the victory you need. You don't have to live on the fringe. You can get in the middle. You can be in that protection and the safety of the church. You can live in that protection that only God can give. Would you just come right now all over this place? Thank you for coming. I believe the Lord's going to touch somebody tonight. If you need to be baptized, we can baptize you in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins. If you need victory over a habit, over an addiction, over something in your life that's destroying you, you can receive that deliverance right now in the name of Jesus. Would you make your way right now to the front? Would you make your way right now? If you're able to, could you come? That's it. Just lift your voices right now. Lift your voice unto the Lord. You can stand your ground. You can defend what God has given you. You can stand up to the enemy. Lift our voice in victory. We're
going to make your praise. We hope you enjoyed this message. Please reach out to us if you have any questions. We can be found at firstpent.org. That's firstpent.org. If you're ever in Pensacola, Florida, we hope you visit us. Be blessed in Jesus' name.